This is the Annie Fry Show.
You actually sound like a professional at the end. I have to add that this is the Annie Fry Show. It's a full voice there.
Oh, just that part? I was going to disagree with you, but okay.
Edward says, Wiggins, did you do all of that in one take?
No. That took days.
It's like the hardest he's ever worked.
Yeah,
it wasn't even for this show.
Yeah, I was going to make a huge impact on the Dave Glover Show by bringing in the Annie Fry Show open.
Wasn't that like your first day?
No, but it was the first month for sure.
How'd that go over? So set it up real quick.
I think that I was brand new to talk radio. Really, I had been doing some producing here for a little bit, but I was full time all of a sudden on the Dave Glover Show, and what I really love doing is sketch comedy. I mean, just in general, I like writing. I like making stuff up like that.
Is that what they hired you for?
And no, that is not at all. That's where this was going. Is that they were like, Ryan, you know, you're an executive producer because that's what I was on that show. What we need you to do is to do things like book guests.
They're like, but I'm really funny.
Keep the show moving. You know, keep the music, the bumps, the stuff that Brad does like every day. I was not great at that stuff. I did really like making sketches. So I would kind of find ways to wedge things in.
Yeah, you controlled the board.
Well, not just that, but I mean like...
You find ways, though.
That I would pitch like, oh, I've got this thing, you know? And they'd say, well, it doesn't really make any sense. And I'd say, well, okay. So I tried to find an angle to bring that in.
Yeah,
or
but you would do your sketches and then work on the angle.
That's
you didn't
right.
really adjust to try to do more applicable things.
But that's yeah. the birth of this thing was, yeah. well, how do I make a Dave Glover show open that would be funny? And I thought, well, Annie's got one that plays three times a day. What if I just redid that and said at the end, the Dave Glover show? Which I was like, well, if I redo all the parts, it'd be even funnier.
I remember when you did that and I was in our program director's office going, Dave is going to be so mad at me. Which he wasn't.
I do remember the look on his face. And the room was just kind of like agape. There was, it was like, all right. And that's the trouble. It took me a while to figure out because I had been in music radio going from that type of radio. It's a very, very different flow into
talk
radio.
Because if something happens, you stand there and talk about it for 10 minutes. That's all you do is stare at each other and talk about it.
Yeah.
In music, it's just like play a song.
You just go on. And you don't have, like, it's in music, you hit something and then you go boom, 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 and you move. And that's it because you want to be snappy. In talk, you don't have anywhere to go. Like, you just have to sit there in whatever you just did. And it took me about 3-4 months to figure out, I'm not doing this well.
And then they put you on my show.
And then they kicked me off. I said, you're going to go talk to Annie.
In the studio, on your show.
Yeah. I remember even when I started on this show, having to figure out how to, at the end of your point, leave it to where it can continue. Because that is so the opposite in music radio. When you end a point, you want it to be the conclusion because that's the end of it. And it took me a long time to get out of that flow.
It's a good thing you did.
Oh, yeah. And I'm nailing it now. I Annie? See what I just did? I just gave the floor to you. I asked a question. Pass the baton.
Let's play X's and O's.
All right.
Yeah, you're doing fine.
Our guests today are very, very special guests. They are very uncomfortable. They're not used to this.
But they couldn't make it, so.
Yeah.
So they didn't show up.
So Brad and Annie are doing it. Now, we had kind of kicked around this idea of just doing a Brad and Annie episode today because, I don't know, because it would be fun. That's why we did it. So we have 9 questions on the board. Tic-tac-toe board. Of course, if you've never listened to X's and O's, there is a corresponding question with each of those squares. And since Brad and Annie a lot of times are the experts, but today they're the contestants, you don't have to ask anybody else. You just get to answer yourself. The question is, who goes first?
Ryan can go first. Brad can go first.
Oh, Ryan
Sorry,
goes first.
Sorry, I'm doing too many things at once. Okay. It's like our guests when they come in. Oh, I choose Ryan.
I am a great choice, though.
Brad can go first.
Brad can go first. Okay, Brad.
I always pick a corner, but this time I'm going to be a little bit different. I'm going to go with the center square, square number 5.
Oh, my goodness, Brad. You have...
AI.
Stumbled into AI right off the bat. So this is going to be a real clip from the week. Run through artificial intelligence, so it won't sound like the person saying it. Tell me, Brad, who said this?
That's really what the young people in America want. We want solutions. We don't want all this marketing. We don't want all the BS put in front of us. This is the smartest generation.
Ooh, who said that? As a Paul brother. That's Jake Paul. I think he said that on the Water Show.
Here's the answer.
That's really what the young people in America want. We want solutions. We don't want all this marketing. We don't want all the BS.
He was literally
put in front
marketing
of us.
His new product.
Generation.
I'm not joking. It was really funny because I understand what he's saying and I respect the point. But in the middle of that interview, he literally marketed his new product.
Yeah, like he's holding a bottle up to the camera while he's
you're watching
it.
Right now, it'd be like, I'm not into marketing. I just like coffee from anywhere. Scooters. I can do it.
Okay.
Yeah, you host.
Okay.
Silence on the radio.
Silence on the radio is bad, right?
Do you want to be X's or no's?
You pick.
No, you pick.
All right, I'm going to be O's.
X's,
all right, so I'm X's,
X's
it is.
Okay. Now, Annie, now even though you're Vanna Whiting the board, I got to ask you, where do you want to go?
Whoever Ryan Seacrest person.
A negative, a frowny face?
Yeah.
I'm in charge.
I guess you are. All right.
It's good to beat a queen.
Where do you want to go?
Oh, one.
Number one, you have our audio whoopee of the week.
Okay.
Whoopee.
Some typically blue states are starting to look more and more like swing states, at least in the polling. Fox News interviewed this governor about his typically blue state looking more and more favorable to Trump.
The Biden administration have seen runaway inflation. They've seen a porous, weak border invite chaos, not just humanitarian chaos, but drug chaos and a national security chaos into... And they're ready for strength in the White House. And so here, you know, we're in June, and there's still a lot of water to go under the bridge. But it looks like it's in play, and that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, which state is this governor from?
Play it one more time.
All right, here we
go. Because I was thinking of the question with something else. Go ahead.
The Biden administration have seen runaway inflation. They've seen a porous, weak border invite chaos, not just humanitarian chaos, but drug chaos and a national security chaos into... And they're ready for strength in the White House. And so here, you know, we're in June, and there's still a lot of water to go under the bridge. But it looks like it's in play, and that's pretty exciting.
You said it's normally a blue state?
So it's, yeah, the name of the state is what's beeped in that clip.
I don't know the answer to this, but I'm giving you the state.
You're giving me the state.
I think it's Virginia.
Here is the answer.
Here, you know, we're in June, and there's still a lot of water to go under the bridge. But Virginia looks like it's in play, and that's pretty exciting.
There it is. That is Virginia. That is Glenn Youngkin, a typically blue state run by a Republican governor right now. So there we go. And a happy face for Annie. And a sad face for Brad, even though the game is tied. I don't know why that would be a sad face, but Brad, back to you.
I'm going to go with square number 3.
Square number 3.
Top right.
All right, Brad. You know, I'm very glad that you got this question, because if Annie had gotten it, I would have felt... I don't know, it's fun, but I would have felt bad.
You would not. You'd love it.
I would have felt bad. All right, Disney has managed to do something incredible, Brad. Make me care even less about Star Wars than I already do. With scenes like the one that's been making the rounds, according to the subtitles on this scene, the subtitles itself on the scene, it is an all-female seance.
It's about time. I haven't watched Star Wars until now because I felt as though women were not represented well. So now I'm super into this. Go on.
But you're a huge fan of the Acolyte, is what you're saying?
I don't know what that means.
Okay,
at
great.
At church, yeah, they're usually pretty cute.
This is an all-female seance involving a witch's chant invoking the force.
That sounds like hell.
Yeah. This is just what I'm reading from the one clip. Witch's chant invoking the force to impregnate a woman without a man. Here's the clip.
I don't need no man.
one.
The power of
two.
The power of
many.
The power of
one.
The power of
I'm not going to end up pregnant, am
man.
I?
Man, I hope not.
No, but me and Brad will.
In a truly feminist world, that's how that should end. Make it stop.
Yeah,
it's
no
almost
kidding.
Done. You got to get the screaming at the end there. Yeah, there we go. That is the seance scene, I guess. The witch's chant, whatever you want to call it. That is gracing the screens of people watching The Acolyte.
Which is nobody.
You're right. Actually, here's what's so sad. I looked it up. That is the top release from Disney this year. And it is like 3 million people below.
Is it a movie or is it on Disney Plus?
It's a series.
It's a series. I guess Ashoka was the last Disney release.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
This is below that, but it's still their top release of the year.
What is it?
The question is, The Acolyte, does it take place before or after the original Star Wars trilogy in the time?
Ooh, 50-50.
Ooh. Yeah, I think this one is before.
You locking that
yep,
in?
Yep, I'm going to lock it in before.
That is correct. Good job. You can see why I did not want Annie to get that question, but it was a 50-50 guess. So, Annie, where are you going on the board?
Man, this is hard because I made them all circles. Seven.
Seven. You have stumbled into AI again.
AI.
Real clip from the week. It'll tell me who said this.
But now, you debated Joe Biden back in 2012, 12 years ago. That man versus the man you see today.
Who said that?
Who said that? It's a tricky question.
Yeah, it is, because it's talking to Paul Ryan. Play it one more time.
Okay.
But now, you debated Joe Biden back in 2012. 12 years ago, that man versus the man you see today.
Neil Cavuto.
Here's the answer.
But now you debated Joe Biden back in 2012, 12 years ago. That man versus the man you see today.
Nail on the head. Annie has blocked the tic-tac-toe from Brad, but created an opportunity for herself.
All right, we failed to do this in one segment like we said we were going to because we were talking about... What were we talking about?
Mostly The Acolyte.
The intro.
You.
The stinking intro.
You.
We were talking about the story of how that intro came about.
Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll wrap up X's and O's. You can play along with us on the Annie Fry YouTube channel. You can see the board there and answer the questions along with us. Just join us at Annie Fry on YouTube and also vote in today's live chat poll. Do you display a flag outside of your home? Yes or no? It's Flag Day. If you don't, maybe today's the day you go out and buy one and show your American pride outside your home. Let us know what you think. We'll be back to finish X and O's in just a minute. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. We are pushing through some X's and O's, Brad and myself facing off with Ryan's questions. And we have a little bit of a breaking news update. The Justice Department, this is shocking, will not prosecute U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland over contempt, according to the letter sent from the agency to House Speaker Mike Johnson on Friday. The House voted Wednesday to hold Garland in contempt of Congress for refusing to turn over audio of President Biden's interview with Special Counsel Robert Hur. The vote came after months of digging by House Republicans to try to bring into public view as much material from the Special Counsel interview as possible. So the news is that the Justice Department will not prosecute their boss, U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland. And an addendum from the left, no one is above the law. X's and O's?
Well, only one thing left to do in that case, and that is to hold the entire DOJ in contempt of the law.
Yeah. And elect Donald Trump to do something about it.
That could be a solution. All right, back to X's and O's. It is Brad's turn. Nobody has a tic-tac-toe yet. Each of you have two squares. Lots of opportunities here, though. Brad?
Yeah, I'm going to go with that square number four, middle left, for the block.
Number four. On Wednesday, Annie shared a political dream team lineup put together by Dave Rubin. He said Dwayne The Rock Johnson and Robert F. Kennedy Jr. would be on it under a President Donald Trump. To what offices did he ascribe those two?
Which two?
Oh, man. RFK and The Rock. So The Rock was ambassador to the United Nations.
What was RFK? RFK was the National Institute of Health. NIH, I think.
You're going to go with ambassador to the UN for The Rock?
Yeah.
And head of the NIH?
NIH.
For RFK?
RFK.
Annie takes the square.
Oh.
Annie took the square. You're right. It was the head of the CIA.
Oh.
Ooh, man. You were close.
Yeah.
You were close, but yeah.
That was a big list.
That was a big list. It was a good question, I might add. Just wanted to let that hang out there.
All right. It's over.
Annie has a tic-tac-toe. Don't trip. Here we go.
I got my stuff laying all over the place.
Don't blow it now. You got the lead.
I know. How about 9?
9. You said that with some real confidence.
Yeah, I don't have any in this.
Okay. Number 9. On Tuesday, the same day Hunter was convicted of federal gun charges, Joe Biden gave a speech on gun safety and did not address his son's conviction at all. We aired it. It was interrupted. I think we might have moved away from it before this part, which made a lot of news. He was interrupted by pro-Gaza protesters.
It's hard, but you're making such a difference. The main reason I'm here is to say, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart. No.
All right. He gave that speech.
This is a long question. I don't remember the first things you said.
It's okay. Just that speech. Okay. It was the day that Hunter was convicted.
It was the gun speech.
But he did not mention guns at his own son's conviction at all.
Yeah, I wonder why.
Right. So he gave the speech in front of an advocacy group whose sign was behind him.
Mm-hmm.
Give me any word that was on that sign.
Mom's demand, and it was every town in Pennsylvania.
Dang, that was really good. I thought that was going to be a lot harder question. Mom's demand action for gun sense in America was on one side, every town for gun safety on the other. You were really close. I did one word because I thought it was going to be hard. I think you got about half of them. All right. Brad, she's making this tough on you.
Yeah. Yeah. 8's about the only place I can go.
8 is about the only place you
can
go.
Bottom middle.
I think you're right. All right, Brad. A famous actress whose career began on Laugh-In is slamming cancel culture for ruining comedy. Her very famous husband made news a few months ago with these comments about gun culture.
If I'm a hockey team and I got a guy bearing down on me as a goaltender, I'm not concerned about what he's going to do. I'm going to make him concerned about what I'm going to do.
I get that.
To stop him. That's when things change.
Brad, who is this power couple? Give me both of them.
I need both of them.
Yeah.
Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn?
You got it. You got it. Yeah, Goldie Hawn is out there slamming cancel culture right now.
I didn't know she got her start on Laugh-In.
She did. That's number 8 for Brad. Although, Annie, I got to say, I don't know if it matters where you go. Yeah.
It does kind of matter.
Oh, actually, yeah, I guess it does. Okay.
2 for the block.
2 for the block.
Give her a hard one.
All right.
Or just read me number 2.
Let's see here. Let's go for a hard one. Okay, number 2.
Don't be a number 2 about it.
This is our new feature called Guest Quotes.
This is a guest quote.
Who said this is a guest quote?
I think that was AI.
She's great.
Yeah, she's pretty good. I had to massage that take out of her quite a bit until we got there. That's a weird thing to say about a girl, although she's fake, so I can get away with it. All right, so this is a real quote.
That kind of makes me ask other questions.
From one of our guests this week.
Why would she say that? There's so many ways you could not have said that.
I had to alter that quote quite a bit until she kind of worked with me, you know? We spent quite a few hours.
Harvey Weinstein. That's my answer.
Oh, man.
Nope. Not the right. We didn't have him on this week. Somebody that's been on the show. Here's the quotes. Number 1. Georgia is going nowhere quickly. Florida is in a similar boat. That's the first quote. Second one. The way the prosecution presented this case, it's almost like Russian nesting dolls. Unquote.
Who said it?
Who said it this week? Guest on the show.
Will Scharf?
You gonna lock that in?
Yep.
Brad?
I know, it's over.
This one is just for fun.
It's over.
That one miss really doomed you, didn't it? That's the way it usually
goes. It always does.
That's the way it always goes. All right, number six.
Number six.
Tic-tac-toe. A winner. A winner.
I had to play it because somebody commented on here. I didn't do it when I got the first tic-tac-toe.
You can play it now or you can play it later, too, because I think you have this game. But here's the question. Hunter Biden has been convicted of all three felonies in his federal gun trial.
You start talking about Biden and getting all mush-mouthed?
Yeah. Says Biden.
Trial in charge of our days and our nights.
Check.
On Tuesday, we debated whether if we were his dad, pardon.
Are you okay?
Or commute his sentence. Brad argued that he would not and would let him deal with the consequences of his actions.
That is incorrect.
Scaring him straight. Something like that. I paraphrase. How old is Hunter? And would scaring him straight at this age work?
That is not what I said. I said I would end up commuting his sentence.
And I think we're just going back to the initial argument. Because we've talked about it a lot this week.
Yeah. I'm going to go with 53.
How old is Hunter is really the question. You're saying 53?
53.
You're locking that in.
Yeah.
Annie with the win on that one again. He is 54. You were very, very close. All right. I think it's safe to say that Annie won that
game. I only
game.
Know it's 54 because Judge Jeanine kept saying, he's not a child. He's a 54-year-old man over and over and over again.
Yeah, and we've said it a couple times, I think, too.
Yeah, I just said it because she said it and thought it sounded smart when she did.
And she did.
All right. Well, let's take a quick break here. We can have a longer segment on the other side. The YouTube live chat poll. Do you display a flag outside your home? Yes or no? Stuff's falling off the walls in here. It's Flag Day. And we want to know if you are somebody who does put that outside your house to display it. Annie Fry YouTube channel. Go vote there. Going to talk about those etiquette things that I mentioned the other day before the Trisha signal.
You saying that
came
was
down?
Poor etiquette?
No, it just didn't land. Ooh. You were trying to help me out.
I was.
And I didn't pick up on it in enough time to make it public for everybody else to know. So we'll talk about that when we come back and get the answers to the YouTube poll. Make sure you weigh in. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. We got Ethan in here now. Ethan's been hanging out, working on some things around the station here and helping us out a little bit. Ethan? Mr. Hannaford, congratulations.
Well, that I don't think that changed.
It changed.
Right? It did?
The important thing that you've learned today is that Brad says to you, there's no happy wife, happy life.
Correct. I will say, I was doing a lot of work today, and then the show was in the background, and so definitely hearing a lot, but that definitely caught me. Excuse, hold on, what? Because this is very opposite of everything I've heard, but this was a very good point that Brad did make. But, you know, I've had this conversation a couple of times this past week that I said that, yes, that is one I've been told a lot, but I've also come up with a new one for myself, which is happy broadcaster, happy life.
It doesn't even need to rhyme.
Nope.
It doesn't need to rhyme to be true.
Because if those guys are happy, then I am doing okay.
Yeah, you spend a lot of time around broadcasters. You've been married for how long?
Man, I will say, it feels like 2 weeks. But it's been 13 days.
13 days. So tomorrow is your 2-week anniversary.
Yeah.
Is life dramatically different now than it was before for you?
Yes. I'm living with a girl. So that is different.
You have sisters, don't you?
I do.
Did that prepare you at all?
No, she's nicer than them. Thank
your
the
wife?
Lord.
Your wife?
Yes, my wife is nicer than them.
Well, they were good sisters then. They got to teach you something.
Yeah, something like that. I guess that's the excuse we'll give them. No, I think that here's the thing, and I will say this. The more time, obviously, that we're around each other, I imagine we're going to see the quirks and we're going to see the different things. But my schedule is just so opposite of a normal person's schedule.
Absence that makes the heart continue to grow fonder.
Well, we haven't had a lot of time together to really settle in fully or do a lot of those things. So there's still stuff of mine all spread out around the apartment and stuff. So the more time that goes on, I think the more I'll see some of that. But
it's
right
rare
now,
for
it's
two people to not be living together before, and I commend you for that.
Well, thank you very much. That was important to us. I mean, that's, you know, goes back to what we've talked about just in values. And that was just something that was really important to both of us. And I was thankful that, you know, I married someone and I ended up with someone that had a a similar mindset in that, because that was one of those for me. It was a non-negotiable. Yes. So,
yeah, you don't see very many people who decide to get married who aren't living together beforehand. And of course, there's a lot of different reasons why people do that. And there are a lot of reasons why people choose not to do that. You know, it's something that I have told my older kids, is to understand that even if it's rare, that there are still people out there who are going to be looking for you if you've chosen to preserve yourself for them. Like the idea that that is something that is sacred between yourself and somebody you haven't necessarily even met yet. You have to honor that now because you want them to honor that now. Right. You don't know who they are, but the world is going to make you think that that is a unicorn, that that doesn't happen. And it's not true. People do still understand the coming together in marriage as a new household and a new unit. Like you can commit to that, and it doesn't matter how many other people are doing it or if it's the popular thing to do or the majority thing to do, that is a value that other people out there will still have. And there's nothing wrong with holding that dear and protecting that for yourself.
Absolutely. And that's something that had been told to me or something similar to that. And it's so funny how in the moment you can agree, yes, but also I remember there being times when it's like, oh, am I really going to think about that? Or there's, you know, there's, you go through moments of just temptation throughout your life or miscellaneous, yeah. And you're like, oh, is it really? And I can say now, looking back, like, man, so thankful and so glad that Hannah and I have gone about things the way that we have, that we waited to, you know, to move mm-hmm. in and until marriage. And no, it's been definitely worth it. And no, it's been great.
And I'm glad you're willing to talk about it, because I think that's also something that is important for people to hear. I get these comments all the time. I don't know, Ryan and Brad, if you guys get those types of comments, but, you know, people talk to me and they'll be grateful that I talk about my faith, that we as a show talk about our faiths. But also, like, when it comes to, I'm just speaking here for myself, but like I will from time to time talk about the importance of abstinence. Like, you do not have to have mm-hmm. sex with anybody before you were married. Like, you literally don't have to do that. And that's like a jarring thing to hear at 2:45 on a Friday afternoon. But there's not anybody out there saying that. The idea that you would protect that marriage that you have coming in the future, you know, most people hope for that, that you haven't necessarily met the person. You don't know who the person is going to be, but that's something that is worthy of preserving. It is certainly an option. People aren't out there talking about that. And when I have the opportunity to speak about it, it is a little uncomfortable and awkward maybe for me to say that. I know that my kids are probably listening right now, but they need to hear it too.
It's so counterculture to teach that now that it's almost like you say it within, I bet way more families are talking about that within their family, within their household, than we know, because it's so publicly shamed to talk about that it's still a value. It's still the value, right? That, you know, it's biblical value, but I don't know that that's being talked about on the radio, for instance, like you were saying.
Well, it's, I think you hit the nail on the head there, Ryan. You said it's being shamed. It's looked down upon. I mean, the idea that you would save yourself for marriage, people are looking at that and saying, why are you trying to oppress these people and hold them back and whatever from exploring and figuring out who they really are. I mean, they use all sorts of code words, and it's just giving yourself over to your desires is all that they're actually advocating for.
It's priority. I mean, you have to understand that marriage is something that is going to be created that's bigger than yourself, mm-hmm. That's bigger than the other person. You know, I could take, we talked to happy wife, happy life earlier, and, you know, I could agree with what Brad said about that if it's being used in a way to emphasize pushing against the idea that a man doesn't matter in a marriage, that as long as the wife is happy. I don't really think that that's what it means. When I hear it, I mean, it's just perception and perspective. But the idea that the other person is as important, if not more important than you, is 100% what marriage is about. But the converse is true as well. So, I mean, like, if the husband has that, you know, happy wife, happy life mentality, I don't think that it's implied that you deny yourself of everything and you completely turn everything over to the wife and you just do blindly whatever she says or wants to do. You can't do that and be a good husband. Like, no wife wants to be her husband's mother. Bottom line. And right. if the wife is in the a relationship and she were to do the converse and, you know, make happy husband, happy life rhyme. I don't know. Ethan's not even into it. Yeah, Ethan, I'm asking the wrong person here.
Yeah.
But if you pay attention to the converse of that, that's not a happy marriage either. Mm. But if you are always working on prioritizing the other person, which is what I think that phrase means to me, then that is the right mentality. And the coming together, like the unit of those two people, and if you're Christian or religious like I am, like the majority of us, like we are here, that God is in the epicenter of that. If you're prioritizing the other person and the marriage above yourself, there is happiness in that.
It's one of those things too that only happens.
Mike says here real quick, selective hearing helps, but go on.
Yeah. You almost have to lead by example of self-sacrifice. And this goes for really either one of the partners in the marriage, that to get to the point where you're, because everybody wants the other person to be more self-sacrificial. Everybody does, no matter what. But to get there, you have to do it. Otherwise, it's just not reciprocated. And a lot of times, it takes time for you, whichever one you are in the marriage, you doing it. There's a gap between where you're doing it and the other person catches up.
It's a building of trust.
Yeah.
You know, whenever I was doing marriage counseling, one of the studies that we used said getting married's like getting a loaded revolver and letting the other person hold it to your head and just trusting them not to pull the trigger. I mean, there's so much trust. Thanks. Yeah. There's so much trust that goes into marriage and everybody's freaking out.
Ethan's like,
what have I done? Yeah.
It's not what my marriage feels like.
But you know, like if you stop and you think about it though, I would not have any concerns of my wife doing anything like that. You know, it's that building of trust. And Ryan, like you said, you got to lead by example. And then when the other person sees you doing it, that makes it easy for them to then follow that lead. And it's not 50-50. It's 100%, 100%. You give all of yourself to your spouse and your spouse gives all of their self to you. And that's how a happy marriage works.
You know, real quick, back to the abstinence thing. Sorry, I got this tickle in my throat. It's another message out there that flies in the face, because the presumption that everybody makes concerning abstinence is that it's impossible, that it is not going to be possible for you to live in this culture and to not have sex before you're married.
That's not true.
And it's not true. Like you absolutely can do that. And there used to be voices out there. I would hope that still that is talked about in church. I'm not really involved with the youth in my church, so I don't know if that's being talked about, but I hope that it's there, because if it isn't, then it is not being said to kids anywhere other than maybe in your house. Mm-hmm. And you got to be the one saying it.
Well, we're happy to be able to talk about it here. And again, congratulations to Ethan. Was the wedding, was the day, was it magical?
It could not have been any better.
That's great.
It was an absolute blast. Everything. It was really nice having the ceremony and the reception all in one place.
Uh-huh.
So that was definitely convenient. We were all able to be there for the entire weekend. So that was, it was a really lovely venue and area. So no, it could not have gone any better. Absolute blast. Friends, family. The only people that were missing were the Annie Fry crew.
Sorry.
I think, yeah, the invites got lost in the mail or something. I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened there, guys.
But we were tailgating in the parking lot. Yeah.
We had a great time, too.
Oh, so you guys were the ones in the RV spot. Right, okay. Yeah. But no, it was an absolute blast, and yeah, very blessed.
excuse me. Before we get to the results of the poll question today, asking you if you display a flag outside of your home, today's Flag Day, so we're kind of honoring that. 9 etiquette lessons every child should learn this year. And when I went through these things, I thought, I wonder where the cutoff is on age of where the average person of that age knows how to do these things. Because I feel like COVID has put such a pause on things that etiquette kind of went by the wayside. And so I guess you speak for, are you Gen Z?
I don't know.
I think you're Gen Z.
We've talked about this before.
I think you're
Gen
Z.
I always forget what I am.
We're millennials. Ryan's a boomer. Let's just go on and figure out what...
I'm the greatest generation.
The first one, 9 etiquette lessons every child should introduce them or should learn this year. The first one is how to introduce themselves. I don't think I've taught my kids how to introduce themselves. Have your kids ever picked up the phone, talked like had a phone call conversation with somebody that you didn't like, okay, here is River. And then they go on and have the conversation.
Rarely, but yeah.
They don't have a freaking clue. Not
my, I think I handed my phone to my 7-year-old the other day on his birthday.
They just put it up they to their ear and then it. Just wait for something yes. magical to happen.
They did, that's exactly what he did. He just like held it. And I was like, no, because most of the
something.
Time it's on speakerphone.
Say hi.
And this was like, oh, I'm supposed to hold it to my ear?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, he didn't know what to do.
How to introduce themselves. I think that's an important one. And I'm going to teach my kids how to do that this weekend. And I'm just going to make them go randomly introduce themselves to people. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. We got Ethan in here now. Ethan's been hanging out, working on some things around the station here and helping us out a little bit. Ethan, Mr. Hannaford, congratulations.
Well, that I don't think that changed.
It changed.
Right? It did?
The important thing that you've learned today is that Brad says to you, there's no happy wife, happy life.
Correct. I will say, I was doing a lot of work today, mm-hmm. and then the show was in the background, and so definitely hearing a lot, but that definitely caught me. Excuse, hold on, what? Because this is very opposite of everything I've heard, but this was a very good point mm-hmm. that Brad did make. But, you know, I've had this conversation a couple of times this past week that I said that, yes, that is one I've been told a lot, but I've also come up with a new one for myself, which is happy broadcaster, happy life.
It doesn't even need to rhyme.
Nope.
It doesn't need to rhyme to be true.
Because if those guys are happy, then I am doing okay.
Yeah, you spend a lot of time around broadcasters. You've been married for how long?
Man, I will say, it feels like 2 weeks. But it's been 13 days.
13 days. So tomorrow is your 2-week anniversary.
Yeah.
Is life dramatically different now than it was before for you?
Yes. I'm living with a girl.
Mm-hmm.
So that is different.
You have sisters, don't you?
I do.
Did that prepare you at all?
No, she's nicer than them. Thank
Your
the
wife?
Lord.
Your wife?
Yes, my wife yeah. is nicer than them.
Well, they were good sisters then. They got to teach you something.
Yeah, something like that. I guess that's the excuse we'll give them. No, I think that here's the thing, and I will say this. The more time, obviously, that we're around each other, I imagine we're going to see the quirks, and we're going to see the different things. But my schedule is just so opposite of a normal person's schedule.
Absence that, makes the heart continue to grow fonder.
Well, we haven't had a lot of time together to really settle in fully or do a lot of those things. So there's still stuff of mine all spread out around the apartment mm-hmm. and stuff. So the more time that goes on, I think the more I'll see some of that. But
it's
right
rare
now,
for
it's,
two people to not be living together before, and I commend you for that.
Well, thank you very much. That was important to us. I mean, that's, you know, goes back to what we've talked about just in values. And yeah, that was just something that was really important to both of us. And I was thankful that, you know, I married someone and I ended up with someone that had a similar mindset in that, because that was one of those for me. It was non-negotiable. Yes. So,
yeah, you don't see very many people who decide to get married who aren't living together beforehand. And of course, there's a lot of different reasons why people do that. And there are a lot of reasons why people choose not to do that. You know, it's something that I have told my older kids is to understand that even if it's rare, that there are still people out there who are going to be looking for you if you've chosen to preserve yourself for them. Like the idea that is something that is sacred between yourself and somebody you haven't necessarily even met yet. You have to honor that now because you want them to honor that now.
Right.
You don't know who they are, but the world is going to make you think that that is a unicorn, that doesn't happen. And it's not true. People do still understand the coming together in marriage as a new household and a new, like you can commit to that, and it doesn't matter how many other people are doing it or if it's the popular thing to do or the majority thing to do, that is a value that other people out there will still have, and there's nothing wrong with holding that dear and protecting that for yourself.
Absolutely, and that's something that had been told to me or something similar to that, and it's so funny how in the moment you can agree, yes, but also I remember there being times when it's like, oh, am I really going to think about that? Or there's, you know, there's, you go through moments of just temptation throughout your life or miscellaneous, yeah. and you're like, oh, is it really? And I can say now, looking back, like, man, so thankful and so glad that Hannah and I have gone about things the way that we have, that we waited to, you know, to move mm-hmm. in and until marriage. And no, it's been definitely worth it. And no, it's been great.
And I'm glad you're willing to talk about it, because I think that's also something that is important for people to hear. I get these comments all the time. I don't know, Ryan and Brad, if you guys get those types of comments, but you know, people talk to me and they'll be grateful that I talk about my faith, that we as a show talk about our faiths. But also, like, when it comes to, I'm just speaking here for myself, but like, I will from time to time talk about the importance of abstinence. Like, you do not have to have sex with anybody before you were married. Like, you literally don't have to do that. And that's like a jarring thing to hear at 2:45 on a Friday afternoon. But there's not anybody out there saying that. The idea that you would protect that marriage that you have coming in the future, you know, most people hope for that, that you haven't necessarily met the person, you don't know who the person is going to be, but that's something that is worthy of preserving. It is certainly an option. People aren't out there talking about that. And when I have the opportunity to speak about it, it is a little uncomfortable and awkward maybe for me to say that. I know that my kids are probably listening right now, but they need to hear it too.
It's so counterculture to teach that now that it's almost like you say it within, I bet way more families are talking about that within their family, within their household, than we know, because it's so publicly shamed to talk about that it's still a value. It's still the value, right? That, you know, it's biblical value, but I don't know that that's being talked about on the radio, for instance, like you were saying.
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head there, Ryan. You said it's being shamed. It's looked down upon. I mean, the idea that you would save yourself for marriage, people are looking at that and saying, why are you trying to oppress these people and hold them back and whatever from exploring and figuring out who they really are? I mean, they use all sorts of code words, and it's just giving yourself over to your desires is all that they're actually advocating for.
It's priority. I mean, you have to understand that marriage is something that is going to be created that's bigger than yourself, that's bigger than the other person. You know, I could take, we talked to happy wife, happy life earlier, and, you know, I could agree with what Brad said about that if it's being used in a way to emphasize pushing against the idea that a man doesn't matter in a marriage, that as long as the wife is happy. I don't really think that that's what it means. When I hear it, I mean, it's just perception and perspective. But the idea that the other person is as important, if not more important than you, is 100% what marriage is about. But the converse is true as well. So, I mean, like, if the husband has that, you know, happy wife, happy life mentality, I don't think that it's implied that you deny yourself of everything and you completely turn everything over to the wife and you just do blindly whatever she says or wants to do. You can't do that and be a good husband. Like, no wife wants to be her husband's mother. Bottom line. And right. If the wife is in a relationship and she were to do the converse and, you know, make happy husband, happy life rhyme. I don't know. Ethan's not even into it. Yeah, Ethan, I'm asking the wrong person here.
Yeah.
But if you pay attention to the converse of that, that's not a happy marriage either. Mm. But if you are always working on prioritizing the other person, which is what I think that phrase means to me, then that is the right mentality. And the coming together, like the unit of those two people, and if you're Christian or religious like I am, like the majority of us, like we are here, that God is in the epicenter of that. If you're prioritizing the other person and the marriage above yourself, there is happiness in that.
It's one of those things too that only happens.
Mike says here real quick, selective hearing helps, but go on.
Yeah. You almost have to lead by example of self-sacrifice. And this goes for really either one of the partners in the marriage, that to get to the point where you're, because everybody wants the other person to be more self-sacrificial. Everybody does, no matter what. But to get there, you have to do it. Otherwise, it's just not reciprocated. And a lot of times, it takes time for you, whichever one you are in the marriage, you doing it. There's a gap between where you're doing it and the other person catches up.
It's a building of trust.
Yeah.
You know, whenever I was doing marriage counseling, one of the studies that we used said getting married's like getting a loaded revolver and letting the other person hold it to your head and just trusting them not to pull the trigger. I mean, there's so much trust. Thanks. Yeah. There's so much trust that goes into marriage and everybody's freaking out.
Ethan's like,
what have I done? Yeah.
It's not what my marriage feels like.
But you know, like if you stop and you think about it though, I would not have any concerns of my wife doing anything like that. You know, it's just, it's that building of trust. And Ryan, like you said, you got to lead by example. And then when the other person sees you doing it, that makes it easy for them to then follow that lead. And it's not 50-50. It's 100%, 100%. You give all of yourself to your spouse and your spouse gives all of their self to you. And that's how a happy marriage works.
You know what? Real quick, back to the abstinence thing. Sorry, I got this tickle in my throat. It's another message out there that flies in the face, because the presumption that everybody makes concerning abstinence is that it's impossible, that it is not going to be possible for you to live in this culture and to not have sex before you're married.
That's not true.
And it's not true. Like, you absolutely can do that. And there used to be voices out there. I would hope that still that is talked about in church. I'm not really involved with the youth in my church, so I don't know if that's being talked about. But I hope that it's there, because if it isn't, then it is not being said to kids anywhere other than maybe in your house. Mm-hmm. And you got to be the one saying it.
Well, we're happy to be able to talk about it here. And again, congratulations to Ethan. Was the wedding, was the day, was it magical?
It could not have been any better.
That's great.
It was an absolute blast. Everything. It was really nice having the ceremony and the reception all in one place.
Uh-huh.
So that was definitely convenient. We were all able to be there for the entire weekend. So that was, it was a really lovely venue and area. So no, it could not have gone any better. Absolute blast. Friends, family. The only people that were missing were the Annie Fry crew.
Sorry.
I think, yeah, the invites got lost in the mail or something. I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened there, guys.
But we were tailgating in the parking lot.
Yeah. We had a great time, too.
Oh, so you guys were the ones in the RV spot. Right, okay. Yeah. But no, it was an absolute blast, and yeah, very blessed.
excuse me. Before we get to the results of the poll question today, if asking you if you display a flag outside of your home, today's Flag Day, so we're kind of honoring that. 9 etiquette lessons every child should learn this year. And when I went through these things, I thought, I wonder where the cutoff is on age of where the average person of that age knows how to do these things. Because I feel like COVID has put such a pause on things that etiquette kind of went by the wayside. And so I guess you speak for, are you Gen Z?
I don't know.
I think you're Gen Z.
We've talked about this before.
I think you're
Gen
Z.
I always forget what I am.
We're millennials. Ryan's a boomer. Let's just go on and figure out what...
I'm the greatest generation.
The first one, 9 etiquette lessons every child should introduce them or should learn this year. The first one is how to introduce themselves. I don't think I've taught my kids how to introduce themselves. Have your kids ever picked up the phone, talked had a phone call conversation with somebody that you didn't like, okay, here is River. And then they go on and have the conversation.
Rarely, but
they don't have a freaking clue.
I think I handed my phone to my 7-year-old the other day on his birthday.
They just put it up to their ear and then just wait for something magical to happen.
That's exactly what he did. He just held it, and I was like, no, because most of the time it's on speakerphone.
Say hi.
And this was like, oh, I'm supposed to hold it to my ear?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, he didn't know what to do.
How to introduce themselves. I think that's an important one, and I'm going to teach my kids how to do that this weekend, and I'm just going to make them go randomly introduce themselves to people they already know.
No, oh, that's brilliant.
Okay.
How to be inclusive. Children should be taught to treat their peers with kindness as well as extend friendship to those who may be feeling left out or shy. I think it's important. Yeah. I think the word inclusive sends off alarm bells and everything. But in this instance, I mean, I don't care who you're talking about. They need to know how to treat everybody with kindness because they're going to want that kindness back in return.
Mm-hmm.
How to wait patiently.
Yeah, we teach this one a lot.
Are your kids good at it?
I would say comparatively they are.
Yeah.
When we compare them to each other, we're always like, how come you're not waiting more patiently? But compared to
Are you good at waiting
this
patiently?
Generation. Depends on what it is. Not really.
I'm not very good at it.
No.
I can put it into practice, but inside I'm counting to 10 over and over and over again. Are you good at waiting patiently?
I'm not very good at it, no.
That we live in a very instantaneous world, and the idea that you just can't have something is frustrating. So I could see how kids would struggle with that as well. How to graciously receive gifts.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is taught inherently because you have to.
Oh, I don't think that. You've never been kids who open something up and drop it on the ground and walk away?
Yes, I have. I guess I take that back. But you have to respond somehow. And I guess we would correct that if we saw that. So
I try to, if it's like a birthday party or Christmas, I try to the kid always has to know who the gift is from before they open it. Like, there's Ryan. This gift is from Ryan. Know who, after they're done, they have to go up to the person. And if it's family, go tell them thank you and give them a hug. Or just go tell Ryan thank you or whatever. And so I try to do that. Because otherwise, they just think that they showed up and they got gifts.
Have you seen the video of it's either like a TikTok or an old Vine video or something where this teenager's opening this card from his Nana.
Mm-hmm.
He opens it up, and like a wads of cash fall out, and he acts like he didn't even see it. He goes, from Nana and Papa. He goes, oh, thanks, guys. And someone points out, he goes, there's some money in there. And he goes, there appears to be.
No, I haven't seen that. How to accept compliments. Saying something like, thank you, that's so kind of you to say, something like that. I think that being able to verbally be grateful for compliments is important. How to use proper table manners. Man, every night I fight with my son.
Yeah.
He just thinks it's funny. He's a 14-year-old boy.
I still think it's funny.
Exactly.
Mom still yells at me when I go home.
How to give people personal space. How to behave online. That's a tough one. How to show respect to others. One thing that I've taught my kids, and they just do it without me saying right now, if they see somebody wearing a veteran's hat or whatever in Walmart, they go up and say thank you for your service. It's one of my favorite things they do.
Oh, that's neat.
They're unfettered, unintimidated by it.
That's great.
But authority, you know, if you get pulled over and you think that you didn't deserve to get pulled over, you still need to treat that situation with the utmost respect. It'll help. Do you display a flag outside your home? Ethan, yes or no?
At home, parents' home, they do.
Ryan?
I do not.
Brad?
I do.
I do, too. 74% of you guys, 222 votes, 74% today said they do. 26% said no, but maybe they'll go out and get one, Ryan.
Yeah.
Mark Ridden coming up next.